Blog Talk Radio.
Sitting and sober, God, it's been so good.
Oh, you say good enough.
Hey.
You're better than good to me.
God has had my back in the midst of my enemies, and I ain't even have to be there. I have grown to many cities, friends not very many, for God to care me and my children. I'm so connected to this air that I breathe, the ocean and the sea,
the mountains, the skies, and the trees.
I'm gonna get everything that belongs to me.
Good
to
see.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Metroplex Buzz. My name is Verna Thomas Milton, and I want to thank you for listening in tonight. This would be, I think, our last broadcast for this quarter. Well, for this year, for Black History. And for, and we're going back down memory lane tonight with some of Dallas's Black leaders, talking about Black leadership back then on Thomas and Hall District. The special guest, the children of Dallas's first Black judge, L.A. Bedford, who was my mentor, my friend, and our board member in 1981 of the Judy Locke Community Center. And also the start of the Black Henderson's Chicken, Own Chicken. It's over 50 years old, their first diner. And the owner of Henderson's Chicken today, Linda Henderson, Mallory, and her family. Also, we will be talking about the family's history of the Marney Berry Farm, which is located at 9455 Lancaster in Hutchinson on Hutchinson Road. These is also the children of my best friend and school teacher. She was a school teacher as well. And board member of the Judy Locke Community Center. Her name is the late Merdine Berry. So I am so happy to have everyone here this evening. And I thank God for you for being here. And I want to take, just let everybody know to pray for my friend, Mr. Dwayne Carraway and his family, along with Senator Ross West and his family. Sending our condolences to them tonight and letting them know that they have our prayers. So I see that we have some of our special guests in the studio, and I wanted to welcome, I think this is Mr. L.A. Bedford III. Okay, I know he's in the, let me cut this on. Mr. Bedford, are you there? I see you here in the studio.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for inviting me, and good evening to you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to have you and your family. I wanted to give accolades to your dad, who was the first Black judge appointed here in Dallas, Texas. I think he was sworn in 1966, and he served a judge to 1980. Could you talk a little bit about your father to us and explain how he was?
I surely can.
Okay.
But I also want to see if my cousin, Joy Friday Hamilton, was able to join us this evening. I asked her to join us because of her extensive knowledge of Thomas and Hall growing up on Thomas Avenue. So I am unable to tell, but Joy, are you available tonight?
And do you know, we have one on here, but I don't think it's Joy. Just have her to call.
Okay.
If she's listening in, have her to call 563-999-3739. The number again,
yes, I sent her. 999. I sent her the text message.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So let me go ahead and talk a little bit about my father. My father was born in Dallas, Texas, attended Booker T. Washington High School, and upon his graduation from Booker T. Washington High School, ventured to Prairie View College. It was Prairie View College back then, not Prairie View A&M University. Mm-hmm. And he had some very special teachers that kind of guided his path, because my father initially, because where his parents lived on Thomas Avenue, wanted to be a Pullman porter. But after he went off to school, he had a professor named Warnock who really inspired him and worked with him as a history professor and got my father thinking about going to law school. And as we all know, the blacks weren't able to attend law school in Texas at that time, so he had the opportunity to go to New York, and I think New York really shaped his life.
Okay. Well, he was a great mentor.
So once yes, ma'am. He was a great mentor to all new lawyers that came to Dallas. He was a mentor to people in the Boys Club. He was a member to members in his fraternity, Omega Psi Phi fraternity. And he was a mentor to members of the YMCA. So my father spent a lot of time helping people better themselves as he went through his life. So I'm very proud of what my father did during his lifetime, and obviously
right.
The Dallas Independent School District recognized him by naming a school after him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to mute that person there. But what I know about your father is that when I first met him, I met him with a friend by the name of Cleophas Steele. Cleophas Steele was a neighbor of Judy Lotz, and that's how, when he introduced me to L.A. Bedford and Bryce Cunningham, they were, we was having some issues in the Dallas school, DISD. Your dad was not only the first black judge, but he was also the founder of one of the founders of the J.L. Turner Legal Society. He was also appointed by, I know you probably know this though, President Jimmy Carter in 1978. And Mr. Bedford,
yes,
Attorney Bedford was commissioned for the nominating of federal circuit court judges to the Fifth Circuit. He was one of the wisest lawyers that we had in Dallas. But he was such an humble soul. I mean, he worked with us. He helped us without charging us anything. He and Cleophas did that. And I really, I mean, you know, my head goes off to these people. I'm very humbled, and I owe them an awful lot because they mentored me. They helped us mold the Judy Locke Community Center to do all what we did, and nobody there got a salary. And we had a powerful board, but nobody was getting a salary because he volunteered. We volunteered. They all volunteered their time. So I would always be in debt I was always in debt to Judge Bedford because he was our mentor and he was our lawyer as well for that development center. So I'm very proud to have you and your family and your siblings on tonight. And I hope they all do be able to get on here and actually tell us who they are, a little bit about who they are. And if you want to talk about some of the things there that happened in off of Thomason Hall, you can if you know. I know that, I don't want to tell my age, but back in 1969, I worked at Texas Instruments. And every time we got off of work, we would stop through there because they had some of the best food and chicken you ever wanted to taste. But getting off of work, going to coming home, we would always stop through there on Hall Street, and it was always packed with people everywhere trying to get food. And I remember that. And there was a theater there that a lot of my friends that I work with talked about. So there's a lot of things happening, but I have a very close friend who knows so much about that street. If your cousin don't call in, we can call him. His name is Mr. Walker, Fred Walker. I don't know if he's on the air or not, but we can always give him a call. And if you have your cousin's number, we can also give her a call if you want me to. If you want to text that number to me, I can call her on the air.
Sure, I can do that. Do I text it into the 563 number?
No, sir.
Or to your personal cell?
To my personal cell. And I can call her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we can get her on the line.
Well, let me give you a little bit of my experience with Thomason Hall, because what a lot of people don't know is where the Walmart is right now on off I-45 right there at Thomas Avenue. That's where my grandparents' home was. So that area, you had the State Theater, you had Pappy Dad's Barbecue. That was all in that area, and as a young child, my older cousins, Joy and Mansell, would take me to the State Theater or take me to Pappy Dad's Barbecue or take me to Clark's Liquor Store to get candy, things of that nature. But I do have those memories in my mind of how prosperous an area that was and how it was a really well-defined area because we had a lot of doctors living in that area. I remember Dr. Green lived in that area. And it was a really great area as far as the blacks of Dallas.
Yes. And also Dr. Prince, Robert Prince, lived in that area.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've also heard that, knowing Judy and the Lott family and the Clark family, I learned that the Pinkston, there was a Pinkston clinic or hospital there in that area as well.
Yes.
You remember that? That's what Pinkston High School.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Uh huh. So there was a lot. It's a lot of history comes off of Hall. I mean Thomason Hall, and it was a fun place to be.
Yes, and I don't want to give my age, but I'm old enough to remember a lot of that because I know my older cousins went to Booker T. Washington, and then my second oldest cousin, Mansell Friday, he ended up going to Crozier Tech when they started making changes to desegregation. So Joy Friday Hamilton went to Booker T., and Mansell went to Crozier Tech. But okay. Joy, I gave her the information, so hopefully she's able to join us.
Okay. Okay, so you text her again. She can just call that telephone number as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
I've asked her to just jump in.
I think I have Linda Henderson maybe is on the air too. Linda, if you own, just hit the number one button. I have somebody, 610-809. I don't know who that may be. Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know who they are, but we'll wait till they call in. And anybody who that's calling in need to hit the one button once you get into the studio. The number again is 563-999-3739. Because one of the things I do want to talk about, too, is some of the businesses that was there, and I do know one of the reasons why we would stop through there all the time going home from TI because of Henderson's Chicken. We would always stop there and get us some chicken. That chicken was the only place that had you get the pepper, you get the pickles, and the bread. So we enjoyed, I've been eating that chicken for an awful long time. And so I'm trying to text I thought I had texted everybody this number before that's supposed to be on, but sometimes things happen and people just can't come on when you want them to come on. But there is so
well,
much history.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, I invited so many more too as well, and I'm hoping that they. A lot of people thought they had to come into a studio, but they do not. And so I'm hoping that they come on in. But I do know Thomason Hall there is where the freeway now goes. I mean, well, it's Lemon. It's really Lemon. It's like in the path of Lemon Avenue. And I forgot the other street there that crosses Lemon. But the freeway goes right over top of it, and it's now called Uptown. That's what's there today. And there's a lot of nice high-rise apartments in there. Everything is probably changed except for the Freedman Cemetery. That's still there. And I think that's been there since, what, 1860 or something like that?
Yes, ma'am.
On an acre land. Yeah, but I remember across from the state theater, they had Mr. Clark's Liquor Store. And Mr. Clark was one of the
first owners
who owned a liquor store in Dallas. And I don't know if Clark's Liquor Store is still in existence, but they were for a long, long time. So when I look around and see all where we come from and what God has brought us from and we're still here today to talk about it, I'm so thankful. In that area, we also have a church, one of the very first black churches there. That's in Dallas, Texas, and that's called the St. Paul United Methodist Church. And I think their pastor is Lucretia Faison. I believe that's her name. So I wish I could have got her on, too. Okay, we have a caller.
Just to refresh your memory, if you don't mind, Ms. Melton, New Hope used to be on Bogle Street, right there in the middle of North Dallas, right there across from where Uptown and all this area is. But they came through and said they were going to put a freeway through, and mm-hmm. New Hope sold that property, and now we're in South Dallas. But New Hope initially was on Bogle Avenue. A Bogle Street right there, right across from the farmer's market, kind of in that same
okay.
area.
Okay, now that's what his name was Dr. Ronald Jones, right? Pastor Ron Jones?
Yes.
Was he that pastor? Okay, yeah.
That's my church, yes.
Oh, you go to church
Dr.
there?
Dr. Jones is... Yes, Dr. Jones is senior pastor emeritus, and our new pastor is Dr. Damian Williams. But, yes, New Hope was right in that area, and now Dr. Damian Williams is the pastor. But, yes, our senior emeritus pastor is Ronald E. Jones.
Yes, okay. Well, I talked with Dr. Jones them tonight, him and Peggy. I sure did. I didn't know if there would be... They was already on a Zoom meeting, but, oh, yeah. I know them very, very well. Okay, I see we have Fred Walker on. Is this, and then your cousin, is she the one with the 469 number?
No. She, in fact, says she hadn't made it quite home yet.
Okay. Well, we have someone online. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I want you to know I couldn't log in, so I had to call in this way.
Okay.
This is Linda Henderson.
Well, hi, Miss Henderson. How are you?
I am fine, Mrs. Melton. How are you this evening?
I'm fine too. We was trying to wait on one more caller, Linda, she's not quite home. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and let. If you don't mind, I know I have Fred Walker on the phone, too. He's going to tell us. Fred, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Okay, Fred, Reverend, L.A. Bedford III is on, and he was waiting on his cousin to come on, too. But I want you to go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you know about Thomason Hall, because you was telling me a lot of history about Thomason Hall, who had different stores there. Let's get your opinion about the area.
From what perspective? The way it is now, the way it used to be.
Okay. Well, tell us how it was back in the 60s compared to the way it is today.
Well, it's totally different. I mean, like back in the 60s, it was black-owned. We had our own restaurants. We had shoe shops. We had all the barber shops. All our businesses was there. You know, all our main businesses were
mm-hmm.
there. The State Theater, the pictures you had on the screen, and a drugstore, and all these things was there. And we had two shoe shops. One was called Dixon's Shoe Shop, and a couple of doors down was North Dallas Shoe Shop. And back then, we needed shoe shops because most of our shoes had holes in them. You know,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't afford to just go and buy a new pair of shoes. I don't know if the quality of the shoes weren't there, but the shoe shop stayed busy with a half sole, whole sole, and also during that time, we wore a lot of taps on our shoes. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was a going thing back then to have taps on your shoes.
Yeah.
And the State Theater, that was a thriving facility for us to go and watch movies all day long. I would go to the State Theater at 12 o'clock when it opened. I wouldn't come out until it closed that night. I would watch the movies over and over, you know.
Well, you had a lot of, when listening to you talk about the different restaurants you were telling me about, the barbecue place around the corner who was owned.
Oh, Pappy Dad's? We had two barbecue places, Pappy Dad's and East Texas Barbecue. Now, Pappy Dad's is, I don't know if you're familiar with Records Barbecue in Oak Cliff now, out on Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
They was born from Pappy Dad's. The guy who owned Records Barbecue worked for Pappy Dad. That's where he got his start, at Pappy Dad's Barbecue.
Okay.
At East Texas Barbecue, right down the street, they was a relative of Pappy Dad, so that the barbecue business sold up. And I don't know if you know, anything about the Green Parrot.
I do know about the Green Parrot. Uh huh.
It was on Hall Street.
Before
Green
it moved
Parrot
over
Shower
Mall,
right next door. Where
it was what now?
It was on Hall Street, right across from Pappy Dad.
Okay.
Man,
and
that was a place we would go. Go ahead.
But they moved from there to
again.
Forest. They moved
yeah, they
from
moved
there
from
to forest.
Forest, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that was a place to go. In the main menu, you never would guess what the main menu was for Green Parrot.
Well, what was it, Fred?
Enchiladas.
Enchiladas.
And the lodges. We couldn't go to Taco Bell and El Phoenix and El Chico and all those places back then. But the Green Parrot had the recipe to enchiladas. And so you go there after hours, there was the main dish up there, enchiladas. And they had a real good enchilada dish. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, I was telling Mr. Bedford how I used to work for TI, and we would get off of work and come through there, and all the time it would be so tight in that chicken house, you know, where we would go and get our chicken, fried chicken. It was like
Oh yeah.
People would just be standing so close to each other, you know, trying to wait on their order for their chicken. But every night, not every night, but just about every weekend, we would go by there and stop and get some chicken before we went home. And I loved it, but my people, the ladies that I work with who lived in Dallas, I had just moved to Dallas. I had just gotten married. I was 19 years old when I moved to Dallas. So
okay.
All the young girls who I was working with was always talking about the State Theater and how on that corner you can find any and everything, anything that you wanted to wear. They said you can find it over there. So,
oh, yeah.
I always liked going by Thomason Hall and learning so much about it. And today I just
What part of town do you live in?
Now, when I first moved to Dallas, we lived in the Cedar Crest area. And I was 19 years old. You know where the Cedar Crest area is?
Cedar Crest golf course.
That's where we live.
Okay.
Over there off of Cedar Crest. And we lived in some apartments. But I later moved to the Oak Cliff area. I think in 1972, we had a house.
Wait, time out. Now, Cedar Crest, that is Oak Cliff. Now, you see...
No, do you know how you come off of Forest Avenue on down to and then it turns into Cedar Crest? You know how it used to turn?
Yes, that's Oak Cliff, yes. That's Oak Cliff,
okay,
yes.
So that's where
yes,
I live.
That's right before Bonneview Road.
Right.
Yeah,
I
own a house over there right now. I have a house over there right across from the golf course. I own a house right there now. Got to rent it out.
We didn't live in no house. We lived in some apartments, Fred. I think we lived
Which
in
one?
Apartments.
I know they had the Highland Hill apartment. Highland Hill apartments was there.
Well, no,
it was very popular there.
I can't remember back then what's the name of the apartments, but we live, because let me share something with you. I got baptized at Reverend Bowman's church, which was off of Dyson.
That's my church. Greater South Central.
Did you go to Greater South Central for you?
That's my church, yes. Yes.
You know, but...
I got married at Greater South Central.
Well, that's where I got baptized. I'm with Reverend Bowman. And at the time,
Reverend Bowman married me.
Well, you know his son right today.
That's why I go to church now, Reverend Fleming.
Reverend Fleming. I told Reverend Fleming that he's in my book because I remember when Reverend Fleming was called to preach.
I was there when he got called. I belong to the church right now.
Really? Fred,
Reverend Fleming is my pastor. I go to freedom, yes.
I remember when he was singing in the choir.
I was in the choir, too.
Well, I don't remember you in the choir.
I was in the choir, male course. I was in the choir and the male course.
Well, I don't remember that, Fred. But now Fred, that's what, we can't talk about Reverend Fleming. This interview is about Judge Bedford. We're not going to go into Reverend Fleming tonight, but... Reverend Fleming was called to preach when he was in the choir. We was choir members in the choir, and Judy was playing. And he had told us he felt like he was getting, God had called him to the pulpit. And I said, boy, you're not going to be no preacher. He said, yes, ma'am.
You was on Denny Drive-In.
We was on Denny Drive-In.
You was on Denny Drive-In, yes. I was in the choir.
You was in the choir,
yes.
Too?
No, not on Denver. I was on Dyson.
Okay.
Before they moved to Denver.
But Fred, then we're gonna get off of us and get back on our
okay.
But I mean,
no problem.
Tell Reverend Fleming we mentioned him tonight because he's gonna say, well, why didn't y'all tell me? But Reverend Fleming has been in my life, my friend, since 1970, because I got married in 1969. Which was in November, and then I joined the church later in 70. But I'm very thankful.
Well, I tell you one more thing. We changed this up. I was the first one to get married at Greater South Central.
Really?
I got married. Yeah, that's before they moved to Denver Drive.
Uh huh.
Remember, he married me.
He and his wife really did mold me, and kind of because I was from Fort Worth and didn't have no. Inkling of what Dallas was all about, but I really did appreciate that family. I still do today. So, and I thank God for them. But Fred, we're going to have to get back to our special guest. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want you to stay on the air because they may have some questions for you as well. But
I might have some answers.
I beg your pardon? Yeah.
I might have some answers.
We have some more people that's online right now, and I think your cousin is here, Mr. Bedford.
Yes,
her
ma'am.
Name is... Okay, what is her name?
Joy Friday Hamilton.
Okay, Sister Hamilton, are you here online with us? she may not be, but I see quite a few. But Linda, do you all want to? Do you want to say? Well, I just got somebody else that's online.
I
have
guess
a 4-6.
I can, yeah.
Okay, so I got another person.
646.
646. No, she's not on here yet. She's
okay.
Not on yet. Melinda, do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about your start? Your parents.
Yes, I guess I can tell you a little bit about the farm. We have a farm. Called Morning Berry Farm, and it's a historical farm, and it depicts slavery. My great-great-grandparents, which I guess I stated already, they were free slaves. We've had the property for over 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
We do have weddings. We have tours. We host family reunions. And the other thing with our tours, we have cabins. And in these cabins, it's all relics and history of freed men back in the 1800s.
Remember, you feel that, okay. I can't hardly hear you, Linda. You keep fading in and out.
But located. And our address is 9455 Lancaster Hutchins Road. We have a website, and, you know, like while we're speaking tonight, maybe you all can just take a look at it. It's Morney Berry Farm, M-O-R-N-E-Y, Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, Farm, F-A-R-M-S.com.
Okay.
My sister, which she takes care of, you know, hosting the tours, she takes them around the property, and we have the cabins. We have smoke houses. We have an optometrist cabin, a women's cabin, showing where we made quilts and things, in a historic cabin that is actually about my mother that shows how she fought all the way to the Supreme Court to get part of our property back. And I know, if people really came out and they experienced it, which a lot of people do come out, and they have come out and celebrated Juneteenth with us. She's given a Juneteenth festival for over 30 years, which now my mother is deceased. So we carry on this tradition. And everyone that's listening tonight, we will have another Juneteenth festival this year, 2023, and we're inviting you all out. And the address is 9455 Lancaster Hutchins Road, and that is in Dallas County. That's off of 20 and 45.
20 and 45. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a winner for Juneteenth.
Yes.
Juneteenth,
and also, there's a number there. If you call us, we do tours, as I was saying, and that's quite important to our youngsters. Our young kids, they need to see. And they need to know they have something here in our city that depicts slavery, that shows you how we used to live in Dallas,
But that land has been in existence since 1876 when your uncle them like that. Oh my goodness, four generations.
Yes.
Well, I know
you want to share history with people.
Okay. Your mother was a great mentor to me. She was one of our board members as well. And Merdine was always so smart. She was a school teacher, but her and Mr. Lipscomb they kind of molded me. And I guess I was the youngest one, so we just started the Judith Locke Community Center. But I learned something. I didn't have a lot of young friends. All of my friends was much older than me. I mean, after moving to Dallas, I think I had maybe like one person my age. And all my friends was mostly older, but they mentored me, molded me to what I am today. And I'm so thankful. Very, very thankful.
And Ms. Verna, you are a wonderful person, a wonderful civic leader, and you're a fighter. You're a fighter here. And I'm just thankful to know you and how it goes from generations. Like you said, you knew my mother. And now my mother's gone, and you're here for us to help us. And then there'll be other young people that you will mold. And then after that, I start molding people. It's just generational. And we need to have leaders, you know, our leaders today, leaders of today, to our young students and people what to do and how to become leaders themselves.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, one of the things that your mom and Mr. Lipscomb always taught me, because I used to always tell people, he would say, because I got a lot of appointments from presidents and stuff, and they would always ask me, are you Republican or are you a Democrat? So I told them, you know, I'm really a child of the king. So I don't know what you may be, but I have friends on both sides, and I always saw that through Mr. Lipscomb, because Mr. Lipscomb could go downtown and he would, I mean, Mr. Minyard's then may have been whoever, a Republican, but he also had Democratic friends. So I was molded by people who taught me to love everybody. I don't care if they're Democrats or if they're Republicans, because we can't get in heaven being a Democrat or Republican. We got to be a Christian. So I've learned that, and I love and I live on that, because I... I'll help a Republican, I'll help a Democrat. You know, he's the one, whoever I feel like is going to be the best leader. So I want people to know that too, because I'm not like that. I try to look at the person's heart and see how they treat other people. And that's the way I am as well. We have a person here, and I think it's from a 502 number, Mr. Bedford, and maybe your cousin. There's a person who wants to talk with 502-594. Go ahead if you're listening.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Michael Ross. Ms. Verna, how are you?
Hi, Michael.
Yeah, we just listened to your program last week, and you got some great stuff, so I really appreciate it. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
What I wanted to talk about, I wanted to speak to in reference to our veterans out there.
Yeah.
I'm a 100% disabled veteran, and I'm also a board member at the Martin Luther King Community Center over in South Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be having a veterans event there this Saturday, April 1st. It's called Vets on the Move in 23.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the Martin Luther King Junior Recreation Center. We're starting at 8 a.m. We're going to be serving a light breakfast. Then the event starts from 8:30 to 12:30. Now, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be talking about three different areas. One, we're going to talk about veteran homelessness. Number two is going to be veteran suicide and prevention. And then number three, one that's hitting a lot of people right now, the people, folks that I've been talking to, is one called the PACT Act. It's a new thing that the president has brought out. PACT stands for Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxic, P-A-C-T. And basically what he's doing is some of these conditions that my fellow veterans have been denied, now some of these conditions have been presumed to be service-connected. And I'll read that. Presumed conditions are established by law as being connected to military service, and therefore do not require the veteran to prove the connection in order to receive VA health care and benefits. And it's about 30 different new things there that a lot of my fellow brothers have been turned down for. They go back and they apply, and these are now going to be presumed to be that you have that when you're in the military, and you can get more benefits as well as more compensation. Now, some of the ones we're talking about are like different types of asthma, high blood pressure, bronchitis, kidney cancer, lymphoma, all these different types of things that a lot of people have been denied. Come to this event that we're having. We've got the VA going to be present there. We're going to have folks that's going to be there to sign veterans up on the spot. To be able to go ahead, to be able to go ahead on and apply for these benefits and everything, so we can get them the care and the compensation that they deserve.
Right.
Especially,
right.
Especially our Vietnam veterans. I mean, a lot of them guys have been dealing with some stuff for years, and President Biden has released this now. We need to get these brothers paid, improve some quality of life, and get them the health care that they need.
And you know what? Let me share something with you, too. And I had a young man who lived in this home, and his rent is not that much, but he wanted to move out to a high-rise senior citizen, some apartment. And he's a disabled veteran. So I told him, I said, if you don't have no tax, because when you're a disabled veteran, you don't even have to pay taxes. No taxes
right.
at all. So
well,
I asked
you gotta be 100% disabled veterans don't pay taxes. If you're
right,
less than 100%, you can be subject to some tax.
Well, he was 100% disabled. So
okay.
when I told him to look into that, because he don't hardly pay any rent, you know, where he's, I mean, no, in fact, he don't even have a house payment. But he was going to sell his house and move into a high-rise. And so me and him talked about the money that he had to pay that high-rise every month. So now he's going to keep his house because he have no taxes. So why is he
right.
going to move? He don't have no rent, no taxes. Why do you want to move? And so he said he just wanted to be in the high-rise. He thought he would like it better. So I told him to modernize his own house. Keep his property. Don't sell his property. But a lot of veterans did not know that, you know, because, but he knows it. But what I'm saying, a lot of people don't know that. If you're a disabled veteran, you don't have to pay any taxes at all.
That's right.
That's
and what you can do, reach out to him, sister, and let him know that we're doing this over there this Saturday. There's going to be more education. I've got subject matter experts that are flying in from Washington, D.C., flying in from Washington, D.C. tomorrow. We're going to walk through the area, get everything set up, and they're going to speak. They're going to facilitate these trainings and everything on Saturday morning. We've got a question and answer session. Anybody got a question about something they can ask? We're going to have VA from all different areas, the VA hospital here, North Texas VA. We even got City of Dallas going to be there for folks that need jobs. We've got FedEx is going to be there. A whole plethora of different things that I've seen my brothers go through the 13 years I was in the military and the years that I've been working with veterans since I got out of the military in 92. And
well,
this is really neat.
How do they contact you again?
They can give me a call, actually, if they want to. I'll give you my number. I'm at 502-594-0020.
Okay. So if, and this is going to be Saturday.
Say again.
What is that number again?
It is 502-594-0020. And
okay.
My name is Michael Ross. Yeah, my name is Michael Ross. Michael Ross. I sit on the board at the Martin Luther King Community Center board.
And
they've
that's
been
Ara.
Gracious
oh,
enough. Yes, just like Diana Ross, Betsy Ross.
Yes. Okay, we got it.
Amen. And everybody knows a veteran, you know, and some people, they done, you know, got turned down so many times that they done gave up. But with this new president in now, like I said, it's about 30 different service-connected issues and diseases and stuff. It's like 9 or 10 different cancers, all these different types of things. So come on out and learn something. We've got folks there for housing. We've got education And everybody's going to be there. We're going to have people on the spot that can sign you right up on the spot.
That's fantastic. Right. Mr. Ross, do you want to come back on the next month because of our new president, a president that we have today? There has been an executive order. Mm-hmm. And this executive order, it actually it has increased the spending from 5% to 15% nationally. You're talking about I think it's $650 billion each year that the federal government spends. So they must have set aside all this money to help small businesses. So I was a government vendor up until the pandemic, and I know the opportunities that's available for small businesses. And if I can do it, somebody else can do it. And I'm trying my best to get people to learn how to do business with the government. So next month, you can tell your veterans as well, we are going to talk about going into business for yourselves. We're going to be trying to teach people how to do that. But all of next month is being dedicated to GSA as well as SBA. And you may have heard of them. They're called Cross Timbers. They're going to be on here also and talking next month about how to do business with the government. So if you can tell your veterans about that as well.
I certainly will. Somebody needs to put their microphone on mute. Because we got some cross traffic here. Yeah, Ms. I can certainly do that. And I'll tell you this much here. If you wanted to get an early start on it or to help some veterans out, I've got 26 different tables that's going to be available. People have signed up to teach folks more about this. You are certainly welcome to come out and set up a table and let folks know about what it is that you're doing and also get a head start on that if you like. We're going to be out there Saturday morning, as I said. 8:30 to 12:30. We're setting up tables between 7:30 and 7:45. So that's just an open invitation because my chairperson is Clara Trimble. She recommended I give you guys a call or give you a call. And I'm real excited about the things that you are talking to us about, and I appreciate it. So thank you for that. You have an open invitation, ma'am, to be there.
Well, thank you so very much. I'll certainly try to be there. I sure will.
Okay, yeah, any questions, let me know and call and leave a number or something or an email address. I can send you a flyer. Anybody a flyer out that needs more information, tell your uncles, your granddaddy, tell your caregivers, some of the spouses that have lost those husbands, they can come out there and still file a claim and possibly be reimbursed for that illness that was not covered. And could probably get some funding for the caregivers and the spouses and the children of those as well.
So the spouses can apply to, isn't that good?
Yeah, if there's something on this list, as I said before, brain cancer, I'm reading now, chronic sinusitis, kidney cancer, lymphoma, melanoma, because a lot of them guys got that Agent Orange and stuff in Vietnam, and that caused, 12, 15 different types of cancer. And if these ladies can, look that up and come on out and check it out. I got some women there from the DAV 240. I have four tables with people there ready to sign people up, printers and everything to get you signed up on the spot.
Okay. Well, I have unmuted everybody who's online. And if there's anybody who's online, want to ask him a question, all you do is punch
him. I do. I want to ask him a question.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Fred Walker, I'm a commissioner with the city of Dallas.
Amen.
I'm on the board of Veterans Affairs. I was appointed by Mayor Pro Tem Arm. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm representing the tiny houses. We're trying our very best to get these veterans off the streets with the tiny houses.
Valerie Ballard.
Yeah.
I know
so I'll be there. I'll be there. I know she'll be there. I'll be there with her.
Okay, well, good. I'd like to meet you, sir.
You will.
Okay. I'm very happy. And if you want to come back on later on, Mr. Ross, we have I don't know if you know how much the Volunteers of America do for veterans. Oh, they do a lot of work. We have also Mr. Taylor. His name is Reverend Taylor. He has homes for homeless veterans who don't have nowhere to live. Now, those two people is on our board. It's on the Vernon Tapp Foundation board. So I'm going to tell them about, they're probably listening in. Listening on links. But I'll tell them about it too in case they may want to come out. But if you want to come back on the show after the event, just let me know.
I certainly will. And if these gentlemen are listening, again, reach out to me, give me a call, and I'll see what I can do to get you guys a table as well. We're not here to sell anything or nothing like that, so it needs to be just information. But if you let folks know about the homes and things that you have, then we can look about, you know, filling those, getting a person off the street, you know, that can pay their way and things. And that's exactly what we need. The area that we're in, down there at MLK and Malcolm X, you know, I chose that for a reason. That's where our MLK Center is located. Also, it's a low-income area. And a lot of times these folks can't get out to make it to these other different places to make these meetings. So we're bringing it to them.
Okay.
I need everybody to help in this city. Okay. Come on out and help us help these veterans get off the street, these mental conditions and things of that nature. You can really help. I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
What's the address again?
Mr. Ross.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
What's the address?
Oh, the address. Okay. The address is going to be, let me get it real quick. It is 2901 Pennsylvania Avenue, right near the intersection of MLK, right near the intersection of MLK and Martin Luther King, about a block and a half away.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I just didn't know. I just didn't hear the address.
No problem, sir. I'm willing to get it back to you anytime you need it. So we'll be there Saturday morning, April 1st. Come on in. We're going to have coffee and Danish and stuff, a little light, you know, fare. And also, if you got any other veterans, give me a call. Let me know. Tuesday was the 50th year of the end of the Vietnam War. And I'm working with the VA right now. Some of these folks, we've got some lapel pins for veterans that were in Vietnam. And we'd like to give show our appreciation and hand some of those out to those veterans. So
okay.
If you know some veterans, let them come out. Let them get some information, and we can also thank them for their service.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely make sure Reverend Taylor and Ms. Richards, which is the Volunteers of America, I'm going to make sure they know of this podcast. And another thing, too. Our podcast is one that you can listen to it over. And in fact, you can actually wait till tomorrow and go back and hear this podcast. So if anybody missed tonight coming on, they can always go back and listen to it tomorrow. And all you do is just go back, just click back on the link, and it'll be a little black line in the bottom, and just go backwards. And it'll actually give you every podcast that we've done. So all of the podcasts is being recorded and can be listened over and over again. So if there's anyone out there that needs to come on and what we've been waiting maybe to come on, you can always just push number one, and I can know that you're there. And the telephone number again is 563-999-3739. So I just want to let people know that we do have a lot of people listening online, but they haven't pushed the one button, so I know they don't want to speak at this time. And but I'm thankful that all of you all was able to come back on. And Linda, do you want to say anything about Henderson's Chicken while we have you here? Because you are the owner of Henderson's Chicken. I think you have 17 restaurants, and you also have a new seasoning called Linda's Seasoning. And that is so good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that compliment. You all give us a try. We have a seasoning. It's called Mrs. Linda's Seasoning. You can go online, and also you can get it at any Henderson Chicken location. Henderson's has been around, I tell you this, it's nostalgic, which you know that. We did start at Thomason Hall, and that's been over 50 years ago. Then afterward, you know, the location moved over on Marburg. That location did close, and when it closed, I opened up Henderson Chicken over on, which was then called Grand Avenue. Now it's Al Lipscomb's Way. And you know what? When they renamed that street, it couldn't have been a better street to be on for me because it was his way, Al Lipscomb's Way. So I said, now we got Henderson's Way on Al Lipscomb's Way. But we've been there now 20 years at that location. And we offer franchise opportunities. And also, like Mr. Ross was saying about veterans, a lot of veterans do want to start their business, and they would like to be franchisees. So I want to make it available so they know we offer these packages. So maybe we can bring some literature out on Saturday for small business, you know, owners, people that are looking to open up a business. Let's see, what can I tell you about it? Anybody got a question about it or want to say something about the brand?
I want to say how good it is.
Is that you, C.W. Whitaker?
Yes, that's me.
Thank you for that.
I love it. There's no chicken better.
I mean, well,
thank
I do
you.
Too. C.W. I do too.
And hey,
this
know.
Is Michael. This is Michael Ross, man. Hi. You certainly can come on out there and talk to our veterans. You get an opportunity. Just come out there and feel me, see me. I'll be speaking. I have a black shirt with engineers on the front. I was a combat engineer in the Army. So just look me up, and we'll get you worked in.
Okay, yes, sir. I'll do that. And one thing, you know, I want to say about Henderson Chicken, back in the day, that was the only place we could late-night chicken. Only place, actually, that was opened up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock. There were days when I would see the sun rise. We'd still be selling chicken. And after people went to the Green Parrot or they, you know, would go to a nightclub, they'd come out and have our chicken. And we just want you to know we really appreciate you all's support. Our people support because you really supported the brand. And while growing up, my father always encouraged us, that he taught us to make sure we patronize our own. And I've done that all my life. And I must say, a lot of my customers have been taught the same thing. And we want to give you the best service, quality food, at a quality price, at a good price. You know, and if anything is ever wrong or something, let me know, because we want it to be the best, and it's about us. So feel free anytime to call me if there's a complaint or something you're not satisfied with, and we'll make it right for you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hannah, thank you for letting me speak about that
brand. Hello. Hello,
yes.
Ms. Henderson. I'm going to go back to the Chicken Shack. I knew the cook over there. That's how far back I go. The cook was Lorraine.
Oh, Lorraine, of course.
Yes.
Lorraine.
That's how far back I'm going to go. You know, Lorraine, she was a cook. Yes. Okay.
That was the cook.
I was in that chicken line late at night myself.
Fred, you know.
That the brand is still here.
It's still here, yes.
You know, I just want to keep it going. I just want to keep it going. And it's really easy. It's nothing's easy, but it's really simple. And if people just follow the roadmap that's already been done, don't change it. You know, we can go on
on and on. Eventually, we can add other things to the menu, but keep it the same. So,
right.
That's it. And well, with the peppers, I appreciate you all's business.
Well, I appreciate you all coming on tonight and being a part of our podcast. I don't know if you all heard the it's telling us that we have so many seconds before the end of the podcast, and I don't know. This podcast is actually, I can go as long as I want to, but I programmed it tonight for 60 minutes because I was told that nobody wanted to go for 2 hours, so I just programmed it for 1 hour. But I have truly enjoyed it. It's been fulfilling, and I want to thank the Henderson family, Linda, your family, as well as Judge Bedford's family for coming on and telling us about our history, our Black history. And they're dead and gone today, but they live on in us. They live on in our memories. And I can't never forget them. And I love them so much till I have to do things like this to continue their legacy. So I want to thank you all again so very much for being my being a guest.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us, Ms. Nelson.
Enjoyed it.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad that you got in also as well to tell us about the veterans.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you all on this weekend, and thank you again. And Fred, are you still here, Fred?
Yes, I'm here. I wish you could call me. I need to talk with you later.
Well, you make sure you tell your pastor. I will call you, but I'll call you, Fred. I will give you a call.
Just call me.
Okay.
We'll call the pastor. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Thank you so very much. And y'all have a good night. Okay.
Good night,
thank
you.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.